Were it not for grace, what a tremendous song. I'm thankful for the grace of God, that God's unmerited favor, and that He loves me, and that and it's not based upon myself, not based upon what I do, but based upon what Jesus Christ did on the cross and shedding His blood on Calvary. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 64. For some of you, this will be a familiar passage and just want to spend a little time. And really, this is kind of continues to connect the last two messages I preached on Sunday morning concerning sin, concerning Adam and Eve and the fall of man. And so we just want to kind of connect the train and the carts and keep on going forward. In Isaiah chapter 64, we'll look at verse 5. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 5. It was a blessing to come and park on the new parking lot this morning. And I enjoyed driving on it, and I drove all the way. I was going to spin out on it, you know, just to kind of get the first scuff marks on it, but I didn't do it. And, of course, my Chevy will do it real easy. I know some of you other guys can't do that, but I can spin out pretty easy. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 5. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those in continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we are all do fade as leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We thank you for the opportunity today to meet in your house, to hear the word of God, and to hear the great music we've heard this morning. We do pray, as we look at the word, as we study this important subject, that you would help us, give us understanding this morning. Open the hearts and the minds and the ears of the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah, of course, writing, prophesying, and seeing the end of the northern kingdom, and prophesying again about the end of the southern kingdom, had a great burden for the people of Israel. He saw a nation that was turning their back on God. He saw a nation that was rebelling against God. And so he was proclaiming against them. He was proclaiming and warning them of the impending judgment of God that was to come. And so Isaiah here just speaks about the nation and the nation of Israel. And also, I think the application absolutely applies to us. The Bible refers here to our sins as being dirty rags. I've used this illustration before, but it's a good one. In high school, I played football, as a lot of people. Anyway, played football and had one locker for basically the last 3 years that I played football in high school, the same locker. And you know how you walk into a locker room and it really smells, a boys' locker room? Some of us guys could tell you why, and I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why. Is because at the end of my senior year, I went to clean my locker out. And there was stuff in there from the previous 3 years ago. You know what I'm saying? There were socks in there. There were socks in that locker that literally, I'm not exaggerating at all, that were laid out this long, that you could stand up against the wall. Just stand it up against the wall. They were that hard and yucky and, just the thought of it, just the smell. We had the boys' home with us, the boys of Missouri, New Beginnings boys' home, staying at our house for 3 days, and they stayed upstairs. And literally, you could, teenage boys, I'm talking about 12 of them. And so you could just walk upstairs. As you walk upstairs, about halfway up the stairs, you can begin to see the fog, and the smell. But a boys' locker room, and I promise you, some of my socks, you could literally just stand up there as hard as a rock. And just think about filthy rags. When I think about filthy rags, of course, the biblical analogy or the biblical illustration is a leper. The lepers, of course, were just a nasty disease, and they would take and they would wrap the leprosy up in rags. And the Bible here is referring to those rags that they wrap themselves in. Those rags have become all pussy and just and just oozy, just nasty, nasty stuff. And so the Bible says here, all of our righteousness, all of our good deeds, all of our rightful living or right living, all of our good works are as filthy rags. And whether you think of socks that you can stand up on their own, or you think of those lepers. By the way, leprosy is not a picture necessarily of sin. It's a picture of the effects of sin. And the effects of sin is that of putrefying sores, of those old, yucky, filthy rags. It's just kind of keep in mind here as we think about these filthy rags. Sin has defiled us. We have, again, been pronounced, if you would, by the Lord as unclean. We've been going over this the last couple Sundays. The Bible speaks to us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. In Adam, all have sinned. Them kids are getting at it this morning, aren't they? Everybody with me? Everybody stay with me. Here we go. Somebody, did y'all hear the horn a while ago or trumpet or whatever? Isn't that amazing? You know, in the new auditorium, we won't be distracted that way. Oh, that's, I like hearing those kids every once in a while. Everybody back, focus. It's mainly me that's having a hard time focusing this morning. It's okay, though. We're going to get through this. If I told you what happened before church, you'd understand. All right. But sin, and a lot of churches don't even talk about sin anymore. Man, they want to go around it. They skirt around it. They call it something else. You know, man calls sin an accident. God calls it an abomination. Man calls it a blunder, but God calls it blindness. Man calls it a defect, but God calls it as a disease. Man calls it chance. God calls it a choice. A choice. Man calls it an error. God calls it enmity. Man calls it a fascination, and God calls it a fatality. Man calls it an infirmity. God calls it an iniquity. Man calls it a luxury. God calls it a leprosy. Man calls it liberty. God calls it lawlessness. Man calls it a trifle. God calls it a tragedy. Man calls it a mistake, but God calls it madness. Man calls it a weakness, but God calls it willfulness. Sin is a choice. And sin is a choice that each of us make every day. There's none righteous, no, not one. Each of us, all of us, are selfish by nature. At our very core, we are selfish. And again, you don't have to teach a child how to be selfish, and neither do you have to teach an adult how to be selfish. We're all selfish by nature. The sin the Bible speaks of. By the way, our Lord is righteous and holy and without sin in all of His works, the Bible says. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. He lived a life of perfection. He lived a life of righteousness in order that we might have that righteous record. But Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we've read this the last two Sundays. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. In Adam, all have sinned. When I was born in this world of my mother, I was born a sinner. I was born with a selfish disposition. I was born with a selfish nature. When I accept Christ as my Savior, the Bible says I receive a new nature. I become a partaker of the divine nature of God, and I receive a new want-to. A want-to to live righteously. A desire to live right and do right. And that desire is there because of the Holy Spirit which now abides in me. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. By the way, when the Bible refers to men, most of the time it's referring to mankind. For all have sinned. Speaking of men, women, boys and girls, we've all sinned. Isn't it funny that sin, what it does to people? You approach a child about something they've done wrong, the first thing they'll do is deny it, right? I mean, for the most part. Then they'll hide it. Whatever you said they've taken or whatever they've done, man, they want to hide that thing, don't they? But you begin to pressure them. And you begin to talk to them. And they continue to deny it. But can I tell you that adults are the same way? Most adults that we are the same way. We all, when approached with something we've done wrong, in our nature, will want to deny it. Right? And until we're absolutely caught, we continue to deny it. Now, that's before salvation, right? Can we just say this morning that we are all sinners? That all of us in this room, everyone who's ever born, is selfish by nature, a sinner. Selfishness. All our sins, all our righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. Look at verse 5 and 6 with me again. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those as continuance, and we shall be saved. For we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We are all dirty and unclean, unholy and unrighteous before God without Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as Savior, you're here this morning, you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible refers here to the unclean thing. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must understand this morning that we are all sinners and that the wage or the penalty of sin is death. Revelation describes that death as the lake of fire. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Can I tell you this morning that we are all under the penalty of sin? They were all under the penalty, the wages of the selfish nature which we inherited from our great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam. And because of that selfish nature, the Bible says, we are under that penalty. And that penalty is the wrath of God upon sin. And that penalty, the Bible says, is hell. Can I tell you that there is a heaven? Amen. I'm glad for heaven. I'm glad for the day, one day, when I get to walk the streets of gold. I'm glad for the day that when I get to see my brand new home, the mansion that's waiting for me on the other side. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Jesus, speaking to his disciples and speaking to his children, said, listen, there is a heaven. And one day, when the trumpet sounds, I will be there. One day, if not when the trumpet sounds, one day when I pass from this life to the next, I'll be in heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to the streets of gold. I'm looking forward to the crystal river that runs from the throne of God that has all those fruit trees beside it. Just thought I'd mention food this morning. It's going to happen. But just as much as heaven is real, so is hell as real. Hell is real. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Our righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. Our righteousness. What does that mean, preacher? It means our good works. Our trying to live right and do right to the Lord, when He sees them as filthy rags. Well, what kind of rags? Those old leprous rags. Those old pus-filled rags. See, there are those who believe that they can do certain things, and they can live a certain way, and they can try to live right and be a good person and try to be a good dad and try to be a good mom and just try to be a good neighbor and try to be a good coworker and just, you know, try to live right, and that one day they'll get to heaven and they'll stand before God and God will have a big scale up there, and on one side will be the works that they have done, and on one side will be the bad things they have done. And as long as their works outweigh their bad things, they'll get to go to heaven. And that is untrue. The Bible never says that. The Bible says here in Isaiah that our works, those good deeds, are as filthy rags to God. There won't be a big scale in heaven when you get there. There won't be a big, okay, if I did this and I did that. No. The Bible says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, because all of our works are as filthy rags, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not found in good deeds. Salvation is found in one deed, and that's the deed of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, His death, burial, and resurrection. Salvation is found in the finished work of Calvary that Jesus Christ did for us, and Him shedding His blood for us. All of our works, all of our good deeds, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. We are made clean, the Bible says, through Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Acts 20, verse 28, she had purchased with His own blood, talking about us. Romans 5, 9 says, being now justified. That word justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We are saved from the wrath of God. We are saved from the wages of sin through Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary. We are justified just as if I'd never sinned. I'm glad at the age of 6 years old, when I knelt there in my pastor's office and I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was justified. My sins were forgiven. My past sins were forgiven. My present sins were forgiven. My future sins were forgiven. And listen, my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. And I've been saved, according to the verse, from the wrath of God. You say, well, preacher, you know, I thought God was a God of love. God is a God of love. Absolutely, one of His primary attributes is He is a God of love. He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for me, to shed His blood for me, to pay that awful penalty, to pay the awful price on Calvary for me. Yes, God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, it says nothing there about works, nothing about good deeds, but whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I have everlasting life. I have eternal life through Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, according to His grace, He saves us. I'm glad today that my salvation is not based upon what I do, but it's based upon what Jesus did for me. Because the Bible makes it clear that what I've done is filthy rags. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood, He entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He's a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation means covering. Jesus Christ covered my sins. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, loose all their guilty stains. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Are you washed in the blood? In that soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Good stuff, isn't it? Some great hymns. I named seven of them right there. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. I'm glad this morning that I'm saved. In Romans chapter 9, I'm saved from the wrath. Saved from wrath by what? By Him, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I fail the Lord every day. It's just the grace of God that I'm up here standing this morning. Really. I look back at my week and things that I've done, things I've had to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for already this week. I think to myself, if I had to live a perfect life in order to get to heaven, I'd never make it. I'd never make it. Not in a million years. By the way, the Bible says, cursed is the man who continueth not in all things which are written herein. It's one thing to be able to keep most of the law. But you're cursed if you can't keep every bit of it. And none of us can. See, our good deeds are as filthy rags. Our good deeds are as filthy rags. So, preacher, that's pretty harsh. The Bible makes it clear. Salvation is found through Jesus Christ and nothing else. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It's a gift, but it costs God His Son. It costs God, Jesus Christ, His life and His blood. By the way, I'm glad today I'm washed and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saved by anything that I can do or anything I have done, but I'm saved by what Jesus did for me. We are bought with a price, the Bible says. I hope this morning, as I've preached the last two or three Sunday mornings, specifically salvation messages, I pray this morning, if there's someone here who's never accepted Christ as Savior, that you might accept Him today and be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and to receive that new nature. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. But we see in our text as well here in verse 7, we see a lack of concern by the nation of Israel. It says, and there is none that call upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. There was a lack of concern about God and Israel. And that lack of concern permeated the whole nation of Israel everywhere. We see that in our country today, don't we? And that's not the message this morning, but it is. As we see a lack of concern about God, we see a lack of concern of things concerning God. We see God's laws that are being laid aside as that was happening in Israel's day as well here in Isaiah 64, where the laws of God were being set aside. God had been forsaken by many and by most. But can I tell you that God is not mocked? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. I'm telling you this morning, God is real. That God's law are still in place today. And when you break God's law, there is a payment to be paid. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I'm telling you, our nation is reaping what we've sown. I tell you, we need to be in prayer for our nation. And you better have already registered to vote. Every Christian ought to vote. If you don't vote, you're not doing your civil duty, but you're not doing your Christian duty either. Vote. Get involved. By the way, we're way past the philosophy of Christians shouldn't get involved in politics. We're way past that. Christians ought to get involved in politics. We ought to be involved. Listen, we live today in a crooked and perverse nation. The Bible says we're to shine as lights in this world. We're to be the salt. We're to be the light of the world. Listen, we need to get involved. You need to be out and be a part. Find somebody you can get behind and get behind them. Involve yourself. Be actively involved. We see today a nation as a whole that has laid God aside. We see our schools and many other things that have laid God aside. Israel was in the same shape. Israel was in the same shape. He simply said, listen, there's none concerned. There's very little concern about God in the Bible. Can I tell you, we need to be concerned about God in the Bible. I think about the verse over in Psalm 42. The Bible says, as the hart or as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? David simply saying, listen, these musicians saying, listen, I hunger for God. I thirst for God. I seek after God. You're here this morning because you're seeking after God. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. We're here as we seek God, as we live for Him, as we do for Him, as we devote ourselves to Him. Listen this morning, don't lay God aside. Seek after God. Seek Him with all your heart. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The Old Testament says, with all thy strength. Seek after Him. By the way, if you seek after Him, you'll find Him. The Bible makes that clear, and he's not very far from any of us, Acts 17 says. Can I tell you, in the Christian life, I'm talking about talking to those who are saved this morning, in the Christian life, you understand that God never moves. We're the ones that do the moving. That God stays in one spot. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He never changes. He's always the same. We are the one that stray. We are the one that move away. Can I tell you, we ought to seek after Him? If there is in your heart a lack of concern for the things of God, if there is in your heart a lack of concern for the things of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, boys, seek the Lord. The Bible says, while He may be found. There's a day coming. He's coming again. We need to do those basic things that show our concern. What are the basic things? If you were to boil all it down, all things down for the Christian now, and just five basic things. We talk about the five-star Christian. And that is, read your Bible, pray. Every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. Songs always come to my mind. Read your Bible, pray every day. Attend church, witness to others, and give. Those are five things that show that you are concerned about the things of God. Those are basics. There's many others. But as a Christian, you're doing the basics. I mean, these are things I was taught when I was in beginner's class in Sunday school. These are the basic things I was taught in children's church growing up. And some of you may not have had the opportunity to attend church growing up. And maybe you're just now learning. You're just now growing. Can I just tell you, get a hold of those five basic things. That's your foundation. Get a hold of those five basic things. Seek after the Lord. Christian, this morning, when one of those five basic things is lacking, you know, you stop giving. You stop sharing your faith. You stop praying. Stop reading your Bible. Stop attending Wednesday night services, Sunday night services, and then all of a sudden you stop attending Sunday morning services. Shows your lack of concern for the things of God. Where are you at this morning? Isaiah was simply saying here that there is none that calleth upon thy name. There are none that are concerned about the things of God. Well, let us this morning be concerned about God. Let us be concerned about the things of God. Let us be about the Father's business. Then lastly this morning, verse 8. We preached this verse before, but now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. Is He your Father this morning? We are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we are all the work of Thy hand. As Isaiah is talking about the righteousness of the people of Israel and how their righteousness and their good deeds were as filthy rags. And he goes on to say that the nation of Israel was unconcerned about the things of God. And then he cries out to God, O Lord, O God, our Father, we are the clay, Thou art the potter. Can I tell you this morning, Christian? We are the clay. He is the potter. We need to go to Him and say, God, I have slacked. I have let things slip in my life, spiritually speaking. Lord, You are the potter. I am the clay. You mold me. You make me into what You would want me to be. Lord, I yield my life to Thee. And what it is was, Israel was unyielding to God. They were not yielding to God. They were unconcerned about the things of God and did not yield to Him. Let us, as Christians, be concerned about the things of God. Let us be concerned about the Bible and the things of prayer and the church and worshiping Him and soul winning and giving. Let us be concerned about the things of God. And then let us allow God to mold us and make us into that predetermined image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Are you at the potter's wheel this morning? Are you letting God have control of your life? You know, God has a way of taking control if you don't let Him. You ought to be careful. I don't know about you, but when my earthly father found out I was doing something wrong, he chastened me. And a lot of times he added He applied the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. Got me squared back around. You reap what you sow. Christian, this morning, let's don't be like the nation of Israel. Let's continue to be concerned about the things of God. Our sole concern is about the things of the Lord. Priority is those spiritual things in our life. And let's be yielded to Him. Let's be yielded to what's in our life. Are you concerned about the things of God? There's a story told of a young man who was struggling to let the Lord have His way in his life, and he knelt to pray. He had been advised to let God do the work for him, but as he was kneeling, he cried, "I want to let God have His way, but I can't." The day before, he had cut out a poster board with the letters, "Let God," and tacked them on the wall. He rose from his knees, and with the feeling of defeat and despair, he left the room and slammed the door with a bang, saying, "I can't let God." On his return to his room, he was startled to note that the slam of the door had loosened the letter D on the word God, causing it to fall to the floor and changing the motto to "Let go." "I will," he said, "Lord Jesus," and he cried and threw himself to his knees. "I will let go and let God." Can I tell you, Christian, this morning, we just need to let go and let God have His way in our life. Let go and let God. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, what? Yielded and still. Let God have His way in your life. Let's all stand. Hymn 167, "Just as I Am." Maybe you're here this morning and you are without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe this morning you're here and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. You can step out of your chair and come forward. And someone, a worker here at the altar, will show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life, how you can be saved from the wrath of God. Christian, this morning, are you concerned about the things of God? Does some of the things going on in our nation just really chap your hide, make you mad? The laying aside of God in so many areas of our society today. Let's be concerned. And we show our concern by being faithful to God. And we show our concern by being yielded to Him. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love. We thank You, God, for what You're going to do. We thank You for salvation. We thank You that You provided that in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and His blood that was shed on Calvary. I pray this morning, if there's someone here who has never accepted You as Savior, they might do so today. And God, we just pray, by way of Your Holy Spirit, that You would help us to live a life that's pleasing to You. Help us to be yielded to You in every area of our life as Christians. We ask this in Your name. Amen. As we sing 167, just